All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Friday, December 23rd. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Hey, buddy. And we are going to discuss and break down every single game on the Week 16 NFL slate. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com or DFSR.com. And you can head over to our site now and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system with optimal lineups powered by LineupLab.com. That will help you calculate lineups for both FanDuel and DraftKings NFL. That includes NBA projections too. Just free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And you're all set to go for all of your DFS needs. Very simple, very easy. And we think you'll stick around past those free 3 days. All right, there's a lot to get to today. Obviously, football starts tomorrow, Saturday, so throw your whole week off just a little bit, but in a good way. The games start Saturday, and there are a couple games on Sunday and then one on Monday, so NFL really went for it this week. They said Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're just going to go for it. We're going to try to fill up all of your TV time with our games. The first game on that we're going to talk about is the Falcons and the Panthers. Falcons come in with, I think, the second highest implied total of the week. If they're not the second, then they're tied for somewhere pretty far up there at 27, a little north of 27 points. Looks like Julio Jones is going to be back this week. Do you see him as, you know, he's been practicing, I think he practiced in full yesterday. Do you see him as safe for cash games this week?
I think I actually do. And yeah, Atlanta, the third highest total on the week, but very, very close. Jones is interesting because I think specifically they've been holding him out because he hasn't quite been at 100%. And given that the Falcons have, you know, playoff dreams and, you know, things they hope to accomplish beyond just the regular season, it would make sense that they've been kind of holding him back a little bit. They're still not necessary. I mean, they would absolutely like to win this game and just put some distance between them and Tampa. I think that he'll be out there, and I think that they're going to really press him to do a lot in this game. Like, I don't think they're just going to put him out there as a decoy. The game really matters. Yeah, I would absolutely play him in cash games this week unless we hear more news about him.
I think you're getting fantastic value on him this week. Like, the price has really come down, 8,500. This guy was like in the mid 9,000s for a long time this year. He's had some tremendously bad games at this price, but more often than not, he's basically paid it off. And if you think it paid off this price, I know he hasn't been, you know, those other weeks were maybe close on his price in that week. I think that you're not going to, this is about the lowest you're going to see him all year, I think. I am feeling pretty comfortable with it. Again, the more he practices and the more that he gets close to, like, kind of be able to run at full strength, I just think you're getting great value on him. After him on the Falcons, I guess him coming back, we have to downgrade Taylor Gabriel, right?
And Sanu for sure, yeah.
Sanu, and really all the rest of the receivers come down. It probably helps for Matt Ryan to some degree to just have one of the best wide receivers playing. Is Ryan viable for cash games?
I think he is. I mean, Carolina this season has taken a big step back in their passing defense. Last season, they allowed just 6.2 yards per attempt, and this year up to 7.7. And so, you know, when you take those things all together, you see a team. I mean, Carolina's also allowed the highest total number of passing yards this year. Teams have been able to pass on them and very willing to just keep passing and passing and going after that young secondary. So I do like Ryan quite a bit here.
Devontae Freeman saw a few more carries last week. It's hard to trust that running back situation. They've been happy to just kind of hot-hand it or just not really need to rely on one guy or press one guy into action too much. And that's a smart way to go. Smart NFL teams generally, you know, don't overrun their running backs. So I don't know if you can really trust his overall work volume. What do you think about Cam going the other way? He struggled this year. They're supposed to keep it sort of close. 24.5 points implied for them isn't bad, I wouldn't say. And though the line has moved a little bit away from them, is he even viable, like, as a tournament upside play this week, do you think, in this game?
I mean, you know, the old anyone's upside is viable for a tournament. The caveat applies here, but not for me, man. I'm done with Cam. I need to take a season off from him. You know, maybe we take the summer apart. Maybe we reconvene, see how we're doing in the fall. But I just can't go down to Cam well anymore this season, unless it's like the phenomenal matchup, and we see that he's returned to form in some capacity. But, like, he hasn't had a completion. Last week's 56% completion percentage, already not good, was his highest since November 13th. In the meantime, he had 37, 44, 48, and 42. That just doesn't smack of upside to me, Doug. It just doesn't.
And those were pretty decent matchups, like 14 for 33 against New Orleans, 14 for 29 against Oakland, 10 for 27 against San Diego. I mean, these games are dreadful. And I don't know what's going on.
He's a butcher out there right now. I'm not doing it.
I just think the Carolina team as a whole is a stay away from me, unless you're just trying to shoot some upside on players that are just going to be under-owned, like the Greg Olsons, or Olson might even be hurt, Ted Ginn's of the world. But yeah, not really too much to get excited on the Carolina side. Moving into Minnesota and Green Bay. Weather looks like it's going to be, I think, okay for this game. Green Bay is a decent favorite. We talked about Ty Montgomery in our value play article, our value play podcast yesterday, as being a relatively safe running back, just in terms of like his price and his workload. So if you want thoughts on him, go back. Rodgers and Jordy were a couple guys we mentioned also. I mean, they play Minnesota, but how much does Minnesota's defense worry you for the Packers matchup?
Not especially, frankly. I mean, they were quite good early in this season and since then have tailed off quite a bit. They're still overall very good against the pass. The yards per attempt are still second best in the league this year, but they're below average against the run. I think that Ty Montgomery is a pretty easy cash game play, all things considered, particularly because Minnesota's pretty good against the pass. The interesting thing about Rodgers and Nelson, from my perspective, is like, they're both just kind of underpriced relative to their production. And so we run into these scenarios from time to time where, you know, guys are such a good value that they're basically matchup proof, but then you get them in a very bad matchup and you have to decide, you know, is it the old unmovable object or the unstoppable force sort of thing. I think in this scenario, you know, Vegas likes the Packers for 25.25 points. I think I trust that enough. And I think Minnesota, you know, they're just not playing with the same fire on defense just because they're kind of out of it now. And I think all those factors taken together lead me to believe that we're going to see a pretty solid Green Bay offensive performance here.
Yeah, and Minnesota struggled on the offensive side of the ball. They just don't really have the horses at this point. The wide receiver core is pretty thin. Diggs is fine, but really after that, they don't have anyone that can really get a lot of separation or anyone that scares you. The running game, is Peterson playing? Probably not. Doesn't matter. I don't think even if he plays, whether he plays or not, the running back situation is kind of a total mess. Honestly, that's not even somewhere I'm looking to go, like even in tournaments, I don't think. It's just the upside I don't think is there.
Yeah, that's probably right. I misspoke earlier. Minnesota not technically out of it. They're 7-7, but after a 5-0 start, they sure feel kind of out of it.
I think you can consider the Green Bay Packers defense here for putting into lineups. They're only 4,600 on FanDuel. Looking to get, I think we have them as the second overall points per dollar play after the Patriots. So Packers are definitely a way to go on defense. And I think, not that there'll be a chalk play, because I think the people will talk themselves into a lot of those that Patriot line, but the Packers make for an interesting play as well. Speaking of the Patriots, they are 16.5 favorites against the Jets. The Jets are projected to put up 13.5 points, which is about as low as you'll ever see. It's a professional football team versus another professional football team. But I mean, the Patriots thing, we talked a little bit about Brady yesterday. The concern we have with Brady is the blowout. They're going to win, and they're probably going to win by a lot, and there's just not a ton. I mean, you could see a scenario where they just want to leave. Like, I mean, yes, there's like pieces of like football teams that want to just run the score up, but at what point is like Brady not?
I don't think they would have mind killing the Jets. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree too. But these guys also aren't dumb, and like they split up some of the running back carries last week. We talked a little bit about Edelman. Give me some of your just kind of like broad thoughts on the Patriots.
Well, okay, so I do think that there's a psychological component with the Patriots that applies more strongly than it does for other teams. Just, you know, my gut feeling or my intuition, as it were. Normally, that's worth nothing when you hear it from a sports analyst, so maybe mine is as well. But, just to share my feelings, that's what we're here for. I think Brady actually does have a good game this week. I think that the high total comes from him kind of lighting the Jets up. You know, he was pretty bad against Denver last week, you know, completing just 50% of his passes for 188 yards, no touchdowns. And obviously was quite bad from a fantasy perspective as well. I do picture this as a bounce back game for Brady. I actually do think his floor is nice and high. I think we see a reversion to the, you know, mid-20s fantasy points that we saw earlier this season. And I think particularly he and Edelman hook up quite a bit. Edelman's seen 27 targets, talked about him in the value picks article, but 27 targets over the last couple of weeks. I think both of those guys wind up, you know, paying their value. I mean, the tricky thing with Brady, of course, is that he's expensive, but I don't think you're taking a bath on his price either way.
What do you think about the New England running back situation? Deion Lewis touched the ball 18 times last week. I think out carried Blunt, or it was almost an even split. Do you think that was just like a total outlier performance because they didn't want to run between the tackles against the Broncos, or do you think that they maybe are just starting to shift some of their offensive game plan to a guy like Lewis?
It's hard to say for sure. The Patriots have done this in the past, you know, the random guys who come out and get three touchdowns or whatever. All that being said, I mean, Blunt still had 17 touches himself, so it's not like he was absent from the game, although he was quite terrible from a yards per carry perspective. I think by and large, what this makes me want to do is just not play either of these guys. Blunt at 7,200, you know, normally, like if he had maintained his workload and we didn't have that Deion Lewis piece of data, then I think that we would feel more comfortable with him. But given that we do, and we know that this is in the Patriots toolbox right now, I mean, they had 35 carries last week. That's not excellent. I don't think either of them, I mean, Deion Lewis is nice and cheap, but I still think Blunt's the goal line back there, which really limits Lewis' upside. All that taken together is a long way of saying I'm not going to play either of them.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you there. I think you can, you can take a stab, but not, from a safety perspective, it's just too hard to know. I guess maybe Robbie Anderson on the Jets side of the ball. He's seen a decent target share, though. And they're gonna. It seems like they're gonna need the pass. It's not a safe situation. They just, again, Vegas doesn't think they can do anything against the Patriots defense. We talked a little bit about how the Patriots defense, I think, ends up being one of the chalkier plays, just because you don't see a team with this low of a total really ever, and that's a real thing if just keeping points off the board. So I think Patriots, they did price correct. They're 5,000, but I still think you can probably do it. Titans head to Jacksonville. Ugh, Jacksonville. Bortles. I watched part of the game last night. Last week, sort of by accident, but he just looked. He's just so bad. I just don't know at what point they. I guess they just don't have anyone else. But I'm not making a case for Bortles at all here. But mostly just commenting on his just atrociousness. What about the Titans side of things? Mariota, DeMarco Murray. What are you seeing here?
Well, okay, so first of all, Bortles is not great, but I think, just one really terrible week shouldn't make him so cringeworthy or vomit-worthy as you're suggesting. He's still basically just a merely bad quarterback in my perspective, and, a guy who actually has some upside. He has a 30 fantasy point game this season. He's not the world's worst. I think he's still a consideration for big tournaments, especially just given that he's so cheap at 6,200 on FanDuel. I'm not going to play him, but I just want to throw that out there because I don't want the people to think we're too extreme, Doug. I hope that's okay with you. On the Titans side of the ball, rather, Mariota is a complete non-play for me. 13 total fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. Still kind of expensive based on earlier season performance. I'm not seeing that at all. DeMarco Murray, kind of interesting for me. What's your take on him, actually?
Yeah, I don't mind him. They've shown a willingness to keep sort of feeding him the ball. 18 and 21 carries over the last two games. He'll catch up. He has actually pass catching upside more than most other backs. He has five catches last week, zero the week before, but then five before that. So he has targeted a decent amount of the backfield. He's just expensive, right? Like 8,400 here. Not the best matchup against the Jaguars. I mean, Jaguars aren't like a great defense, but they're not horrible. And Derrick Henry bites in a little bit to his production, and it'll kind of bring him in sort of down and close. Not all the time, but just enough that you get a little bit worried about it. So, because Henry has three touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So, all those things kind of add up for me to be a little worried about it. But that being said, the Titans do run the ball enough that I think he has a floor. I think it's just a price thing, really, for him at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think that there's a case to be made that he can be a part of your big tournament lineups. We haven't quite seen him go off this season, but it's not for lack of volume or anything else. So, yeah, I'm definitely not in love with it either, but just figured I'd throw it out there.
The next game we have – real quick, Titans passing game. Rashard Matthews is a guy that our system kind of likes. What are your thoughts on him?
We brought him up yesterday. I mean, I think he's the kind of guy that looks pretty reasonable at first glance based on the yardage and the price. There's definitely some risk there because, he's breaking off a lot of long catches and that might not be sustainable, but he definitely seems like it's at least in his toolbox to break off those long runs. And that's not something you can say for every single wide receiver. So when you take all those things together, I think he's a consideration. I don't know if you want to call him safe just because of his player profile. That profile tends not to play out as very safe, but I think, having him, being aware of him and kind of having him on your radar is worthwhile for big tournaments.
I think you can take a look for Delanie Walker in a big tournament. I think he's a little too expensive for cash games. You can probably find value elsewhere. He will catch touchdowns from time to time. Target share is decent, 15% over the last 2 weeks. Saw a big uptick in 4 weeks ago where he caught a bunch of yards. Mariota will look his way enough. I just don't think it's not consistent enough for his price at this point. 6,400 is just a little too expensive.
Yep.
Let's go to the Chargers and the Browns. I don't think Melvin Gordon is going to play. He hasn't practiced all week after just being hurt the last week also. So I suspect he sits again. Kenneth Farrell, He out-carried Hillman something like 15-7 last week. They both stunk, so good news. Good news for Pharaohs, Hillman also stunk. But this is the Browns, and the Browns are otherworldly bad against really just about everything. Dead last in run in rushing defense, DVOA, and all getting there on the pass. So one more good passing week, and they're probably just fighting the bottom of the barrel in both. But do you think Pharaoh, for his price, if you thought he was going to get like 15 carries, let's say, do you think against this Cleveland defense, which is horrible, is he safe at 6,100 on FanDuel and he's a little cheaper on DraftKings, maybe in that 5,000 range? I'll look. But do you think he, yeah, 5,000, is he safe enough if you thought he saw just enough carries against a bad defense?
I think he is. And this will be the last time I'll play him this season because I suspect he's good. His price goes up a little bit. He's relatively highly owned and then we never want to play him again.
Yep.
I think a lot of the reason Hillman saw time is because Farrah was having trouble getting going. I do think he's plan A there. I don't think they're excited about Hillman. So, I'm not excited either about Farrah. But that kind of volume on that kind of price in such a good matchup leads me to believe that this is just a solid play.
It's really close for me. I think people will be off him because he was so bad last week. They're just probably ignoring matchup a little. Again, I can't really overstate how bad Cleveland is, and so I think it's really, really close for me in cash games. Not sure. The only reason I wouldn't do it is because you kind of just like don't need to save a ton of money here in some of these slates. Which is the only reason I think that it isn't like in every lineup. Like I think I'd almost be willing to do it in almost every lineup. Although I am acknowledging some of the risk. What about the Charger passing game?
Yeah, it's kind of a mess. I mean, last week, Inman and Williams saw 8 and 9 targets respectively. Inman was pretty reasonable with 68 yards and 5 catches. Williams was certainly not. Travis Benjamin and Hunter Henry wound up catching the touchdowns. Gates was kind of absent. I don't know that there's anyone here you want to really single out as the best play of the week here. I don't think I'll play any of them in cash games, but if I had to pick a big tournament guy, I guess I would go with Dontrell Inman, just based on not only the number of targets, but the reliability with which he's bringing them down. So take that for what it's worth. They stunk against Oakland, who's a very bad pass defense, and I would not feel good about it.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind taking a stab on Tyrell Williams. He just showed he's had some big upside games prior to the injury. The target share did increase last week up to 17%. Again, he was not good, and overall the team wasn't very good. I think I'd probably go the other way on Williams versus Inman, though. Neither one strikes me as anywhere close to safe. Brown side of the ball, I mean, really nothing to see here, correct? Robert Griffin, no. Running game, no. Wide receivers, no thanks. Are you kind of
nothing to see there, Doug, but there's something to see at fantasyfactor.com.
Whoa!
Did you know about that?
Yeah.
So fantasyfactor.com is one of DFSR's partners. They are a new fantasy sports site, a daily fantasy sports site, and you can go over there and play contests. And the really nice thing about Fantasy Factor is that it's not infested with pro players putting in 100 lineups and all the different contests. They've been generous offering free rolls. They've currently got a $50 NFL free roll. There's a link to that on our Twitter page, actually, at Daily Fantasy SR. And you can go over there and check them out. Yeah, it's a nice site, good infrastructure, good layout in the software and whatnot. And really, again, if you're a casual player who just wants to put $5 or $10 in at a time, don't go do that in the $5 double up on FanDuel because you're going to play against, people like us who put in 100 lineups. So you want to play on fantasyfactor.com. We go over there. We also play in the free rolls. Say what's up. You can go in the chat. Oftentimes we have DFSR specific free rolls you can join as well. And if you use promo code DFSR, you can get $5 to put into play right away on a $10 deposit. So fantasyfactor.com, check them out and we'll see you there.
Next game is the Redskins and the Bears. This game has had the over just get hammered. It started at 45 and is now up to 47.5, really coming from both sides of the ball, a little bit more on the Redskins side. They went from 24 to 25.5. Where do you see, do you think this was just like a price overcorrect or it was a mistake by Vegas? Like you don't really see these kind of steady climbs. The weather's not supposed to be bad in Chicago. I'm not sure if you have thoughts on like why this one has ticked upward.
I think the sharps, as it were, look at this game. I think they look at the Chicago offense probably, too, as being better than most people realize. I think Mac Barkley, we've talked about, he's generally perceived to be not an NFL-level quarterback. But, 3 weeks in a row, his completion percentage has gone up. It's gone up every week since he, took over the starting job. And he was really effective last week. The 3 interceptions on a 70% completion percentage looks a lot more like an aberration than it does anything to be necessarily concerned about. So I think people see both sides of that. And then they, you know, just picture a game with a lot of possessions, teams kind of going back and forth. And even if neither offense is super, super effective, I think both are capable now. And that's worth a higher total than 45, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think we liked a decent amount of Bears in this game. We talked Jordan Howard yesterday as being just the every down back that you kind of want to get for his price. I know that he's an underdog. I'm not so worried about that piece of it. We liked Cameron Meredith at the target share that he had seen. I don't even mind Barkley's price, honestly. He's coming pretty cheap at only $5,000 on FanDuel. That gives you a lot of flexibility for a guy who should throw in this game. He's had a couple of big volume passing games. And when you're seeing that kind of volume at $5,000, you just have a pretty high floor. Like, he's thrown 43 passes and 54 in two of his last 4 weeks. So I like a lot of that side of the ball. The Redskins side kind of scares me a little bit with the receiver core. I don't think Jordan Reed is going to play. He looked like he's a little more hurt than they thought this week. If he were to sit, do you like Vernon Davis? Does it open up more targets in that? And they have a pretty crowded wide receiver core. Like, they spread the ball between Jackson and Crowder and Garcon. What do you think of the Redskins side?
Yeah, I guess I like Jackson a little bit. I mean, the fact that he went out there and had a 17% target share, played a season-high 58 snaps, had the 7 receptions for 111 yards. Like, I think there is something there. I don't know that it's really where you want to be for cash games or anything like that, but Jackson's a legitimate, you know, big downfield threat. Yeah. And if he can put string together a few long runs, like, he can definitely be part of even $1 million winning lineup, Doug, just like our friend Andrew Morris did recently. I don't know if you saw him, a DFSR user, Andrew Morris, when he won the million. But
yeah, he's that cousin to Jackson. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and I don't think it was wrong necessarily. Like, 10 targets in that game, the snaps are going to go up if he can break off big runs. I don't know. I don't think I would necessarily play him, like, again, in cash games, but I think there's something there.
We talked yesterday a lot. The next game is the Dolphins and the Bills. We talked yesterday a lot about Shady McCoy, and so I'm not going to go back all the way into that. We see him as probably the safest cash game play this week on both sites, just in terms of his matchup and his price, and as compared to some of those other big boys. And the yards per carry has been great. So outside of him, though, on the Buffalo side, Tyrod Taylor, anything in the receiving core, they just run the ball so much. It's hard to get totally excited about their other quote unquote weapons.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's nothing here for big tournaments or for cash games in the receiving core. I think McCoy, you know, definitely maintaining his role is certainly worthy of that big money receiver role, given the yards per carry. But the rest of the pieces, frankly, on both sides of the ball, I'm not overwhelmed by.
Matt Moore going to start at quarterback for the Dolphins. Vegas tells you all you need to know about what they think of that situation. They start at 19.75 points and are down to 19. And I think it might drop even more. So I just get the Miami side. Yeah,
they had 4 touchdowns last week. Are you poo-pooing the 4 touchdowns he threw against the Jets?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's the Jets. And I definitely am. I mean, he was actually a funny guy because, like, his sample size was so small, it kind of got wonky with our system because we drew a little bit from current season form.
Yeah.
And for a lot of guys, that's fine because you have a sample size. With him, it was like, oh, this guy's going to throw a touchdown, like one every 4.25 attempts or something like
exactly.
4.5
that's
attempts.
Expect.
Right, and it was like
less than that, actually?
unreasonably, I guess. But we really had to reconfigure that projection because it was just so far out of the box because he just threw so many touchdowns. No, I think that's a total outlier performance. I mean, you can take a stab at him, I guess. He's so cheap, and if you think they're going to throw from behind, he does have a couple receivers to throw to, I guess. So he's not a terrible, terrible play, I don't think. But looking at the 4 touchdowns from last week and thinking that's anywhere close to reality is not really the way your brain should be going.
He'll probably never have a 4 touchdown game again in his career. So
I don't think I'll have 4 touchdowns the rest of the season. The Colts and the Raiders play. We really liked Andrew Luck. He's coming in as the underdog here. Their line ticked up just a little bit. Oakland has – so anyway, we talked about Luck a decent amount yesterday. I can see us maybe going almost full cash game on him playing against the Raiders. A couple of the other guys on the Colts, Frank Gore had a ton of rushes last week. I don't really think that – you don't see that as like a sustainable number for what he did last week in terms of just like his overall carries, do you?
Nah, probably not. I just don't think it's the Colts' plan A, and I think most of that was just that the game got out of hand. You know, his next highest on the season was 22 carries. Before that, 21, and then no other games over 20 carries the rest of the season. Actually, 20 against the Jets. So 4 total games at 20 carries or more on the season. Just not a guy you're going to want to trust. Yeah, he's very, very cheap, but he's also not even really the goal line plan either, so I'm not interested in Gore whatsoever.
Yeah, I think you can take a look at T.Y. Hilton here. He has always his big upside if you're looking for a stack to put together with Luck. They also will throw to Moncrief a decent amount in the end zone. For his amount of total targets, he has actually a pretty decent red zone usage, all things considered this season. He is going to play this week after taking the last 2 weeks off with injury, so might be some sneaky way to get some value in on him. What about the Oakland side of the ball? This always concerns me a little bit when Oakland has, I think, the second highest overall total on the week, and really, like for us, our system isn't sniffing out many of their guys in terms of value. Does it worry you when that kind of thing happens?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely always something that gives us pause and makes us return to just be sure that we're not missing anything dramatic. But really, like, who do you want to play in this game? Like, Amari Cooper has been horrible. He really hasn't paid this price since the Tampa Bay game, in which he paid it going away, gangbuster style. But he's been real bad, single-digit target share in 3 of the last 4 weeks. He's off the table. Maybe you want to look at a guy like Crabtree. Crabtree has actually maintained and even increased his target share. He's a clear, definitive red zone target and has paid this price in 3 of the last 4 weeks. But he'll disappear on you too. You know, Oakland is just one of these weird teams where they do wind up scoring, but things get spread around enough to where, particularly when it comes to the touchdowns, that you're not ever totally confident that you're going to be the one who picks the right guy. To that end, Latavius Murray, 12 touchdowns on the season, if only 737 rushing yards. Like, he's a pretty clear red zone guy for them, but now he's like in the weird price range to where, do you really want to pay $7,300 for a guy that touches the ball as often as he does when there are these other running backs that exist in the modern NFL? So yeah, it's just kind of a tragedy of the commons in some ways. I guess if I had to rank them, I would go Crabtree first and then maybe Murray in terms of guys I was interested in.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you. I think that these guys strike me as all tournament plays because the points are going to come from somewhere. But like you said, it's just tough on a week-to-week basis to know. And he will, you know, Carr will spread. Same with Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr is also very expensive. He's in that upper echelon of quarterback now in terms of price, $8,100. So, but again, these guys make for great tournament plays because, you know, it's hard to imagine Vegas is way off on terms of their overall implied points. It's just like deducing where it comes from is the tough part. But yeah, I'm with you. It makes me just a little concerned because I'm like, man, that's a lot of points to not be staring at when when they're putting it up. But hey, I mean, where do these guys even play? Or excuse me, where do these guys where it comes from is so hard to know. San Francisco at the Rams. I don't know, because here's the thing. They're passing on the San Francisco side of the ball. They started at 19 points. They're trending. They might get down to 17. So it's so funny. Vegas is like, 19 points, huh? What are you guys, nuts? These guys are horrible. Everyone's just laughing.
Were they playing against a college team?
Oh, Sharp's just sprinting to the book, you know, to just like to see if that's still a live line. Now, the Rams side, though, I think is interesting, right? So this is their best matchup of the year in terms of just like the story here is the 49ers defense is so bad, right?
Do you think this matchup is better for them than when they played on the first game of the season when they scored 0 points against the 49ers?
Yeah, well, they're a slightly different team now. I mean, they have a new quarterback.
They're right. That's true. They really have turned it around since then.
Don't get me wrong here. The Rams stink. I'm not saying that, but everything's matchup and price dependent, right? And so this is the first time probably all year that they're a favorite going in. They're -5. I mean, like, that's a real line to be -5 against a team. And it really speaks to how bad the 49ers are. The 49ers are that perfect marriage of bad defense and run super fast pace in that Chip Kelly offense, right? So they get a volume upgrade in terms of the Rams, and they get an upgrade just in terms of the defense they're playing. Guys like Gurley, I mean, Gurley at 6,500 to me is actually kind of interesting on DraftKings. Like, I can see them giving him the ball a lot. You know, this is a favorable theoretical game script for him is in terms of them being the favorite. When he can get the ball, he's not like the worst running back in the world. Their biggest problem with Gurley is they're just always losing, right? Like, they're always sure. Like, they're just always behind, and they just can't really establish anything. If it's ever going to happen, it's this week. Gurley actually for me is close on DraftKings for cash games. That's how little I value the San Francisco defense and Kenny Britt also. Like, Kenny Britt's had a decent target share over the last couple weeks. Goff is not a great quarterback, though he probably is a upgrade over Keenum. You know, Britt last week, 4 for 50. Week before, 7 for 82, 20 and 18% target share respectively. And he's put together some touchdown games too. So I don't know. I mean, am I way off the rails here? I'm talking myself into the Rams. I don't know. I might be going crazy.
These teams have been outscored by their opponents a combined 301 points.
Great. They're playing each other now.
through 15 weeks of the season this year. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Obviously, both of them represent a good matchup for whomever they play against. Lost a combined 18 games in a row between these two teams. I hear what you're saying. Like early at 5,000 on DraftKings, that actually is very
tempting. Sorry, 6,500. He's 6,500 on DraftKings.
Oh, he's 6,500. Yeah. Goodness. No, that's I'm not as tempted anymore. I'm not going to play anyone from these teams. Like I understand why people might. I understand the upside for big tournaments and so on, but it's just like that's where I want to be at 4 o'clock on my Christmas Eve, watching Todd Gurley run into a defensive line is like stumbling and falling around. Like I'm not doing that.
I'm calling it now. Gurley is going to be in the winning millionaire lineup this week. I feel like pretty.
Well, if you already have one guy in the winning millionaire lineup, you should really, really start doubling down.
I never say stuff like this. I just really believe that this is the week that he actually puts in a huge performance. I don't know. I might be just me being totally irrational, but I just think that you're just getting insane value on him. I wouldn't play him over like Jordan Howard at 6,300, but I think the upside is pretty great. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if you saw like some like sharp movement for guys like Gurley in a lineup this week, just because I said I can't overstate how good of a matchup the 49ers are for just and it does and I get that the Rams stink too, but it's just a dream matchup.
I think Kenneth Farrow over Todd Gurley this
okay.
week.
Okay, really? No, we can no halftime challenge that. Tell everyone about no halftime while I open the app and send you this challenge.
Just because we just hit you guys up with a sponsor, but no halftime is a great app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy challenges. You pick a guy that guy's going to play against, and whoever scores the most fantasy points wins. I have wisely taken Kenneth Farrow in this instance. Doug has taken Todd Gurley. Maybe I'll just put those challenges out to the world and just bury people on No Halftime this week. NoHalftime.com. Check it out if you want to relive Todd Gurley's 17-carry, 47-yard performance.
There's no way. There's no way.
That he had against the 49ers in the first game of the season. We'll see you there.
Oh, I just got irrationally excited about the Rams. All right, moving on before I just go totally crazy here. Arizona heads to Seattle. They are pretty decent underdogs here. Seattle -7.5. Really don't see, no one expects Arizona to be putting up much in the way of points. We talked about why this is probably a stay away point for most everyone on the Cardinals, David Johnson, and really the rest of that crew. You're getting a decent price on Carson Palmer for in terms of points per dollar if you think they're playing behind, though it's hard to imagine he has tons of upside here. On the Seattle side of the ball, I don't know. Russell Wilson, Thomas Rawls, are these guys that, you know, the game script seems to favor them. I'm not sure this is the best matchup, but this I will say that their implied point total is higher than I thought it would be at over 25.
Well, yeah, I feel that way too. And I think that the industry perception, these guys, they'll have like something like 0% ownership in cash games for that reason. Right. And also just because they played 6-6 tie in the last time that they met, given that it's a full slate of football, it's really hard to imagine anyone plugging these guys in. That being said, like it might not be the worst thing to think about Russell Wilson for a big tournament. The rushing upside, you know, the combination of both the touchdowns and the potential passing yards means he's going to have a fairly decent upside when he's under 8,000 like this. So I don't, and you know, Vegas seeing them scoring 25 points means something. I don't know that it means you want to play him in DFS, but yeah, I think that's kind of what's going on there. In terms of the actual targets, the guys you think Wilson's going to get the ball to, it's kind of scattershot. I mean, Lockett had a big performance last week, obviously 130 yards, 7 receptions against Doug's Rams. 22 fantasy points in 2 of his last 3 games. Super cheap on FanDuel. He's less than 5,000. So don't be surprised if people go that way for their big tournaments. But yeah, other than that, I'm not too excited.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with you. All right, Bucks and the Saints. This one has a lot of fantasy implications. We talked a lot about Breeze and Winston yesterday, especially Breeze in terms of cash games. He's playing at home, great implied total. Tampa Bay is just merely meh on defense. And we had a discussion about, you know, where they kind of ranked in terms of overall defense. I think we both see Breeze as really safe on this price and in this play. Again, like I said, he's better at home for his career. It makes sense. It's inside the dome. After him, there's some interesting plays on the Saints side of the ball. So Brandon Cooks did a total disappearing act for multiple weeks. Price dropped. Then last week, he completely turned it around with a 7 for 186 and 2 touchdowns. What is the reality here? Again, I'm looking back to the Rams game where he had zero targets, and then he went 7 for 73, and then 5 for 61 with no touchdowns, and he's not a big red zone target as it is. What is the reality on a guy like Cooks in terms of like what we can expect for in terms of his targets?
I think the reality with the Saints right now is that they just have so many targets that it's hard to know who's going to really put up the fantasy production. You know, you've got not only Cooks, but you've got Snead and Thomas on the passing side, and then Ingram and Hightower in the running back position. I think really the only constant from week to week going forward is going to be Drew Brees. And then if you happen to pair him with the right guy for your big tournaments, then you're in great shape. And if you just want to play him just on the upside alone, I think you can actually play him as a standalone in big tournaments, and I think you can play him in cash games too. I think this is a great matchup, regardless of whatever happened the last time they met at 16-11. Both passing defenses have been bad all season. Both offenses have been pretty reasonable. I mean, the Saints have been great. The Bucks have been pretty much good. And I think treat this game as though the other game is only one small data point rather than a proxy for exactly what will happen here.
Yeah, and just a point about Ingram here, though, as a guy where you can probably get the money in sort of safe, is on DraftKings, he's only 4,400, which is really ranging toward that punt play. And, you know, 4,400 from a guy, if you thought he was going to get 14 to 15 carries, which I think a reasonable number. I mean, I know he had the two sevens in a row, then he had the 17. It's a little hard to trust. I wouldn't feel awesome about it just because there are games where they will just kind of roll with Hightower, and then you're wondering where Mark, if he's like still on the team or not. But 4,400 on DraftKings is really pretty enticing. And Cooks, I think Cooks is pretty much safe for cash games, just the way they've been using him, at least of late. On the Buck side of the ball, Evans, I mean, I don't know. He's got as much upside as any receiver in the game, and then he will, like a lot of these other, actually, he's a little different than even some of these other receivers, because he will just not even show up at all. Like 4, 4, and 3 are his last three games. I don't know. What do you think about Evans?
Evans is a guy who I just view as a strictly kind of throwing a dart upside guy at this point. I mean, he was already a huge, just like a weird play, because he would get these big target totals but only catch like 50% of them, and that gives him a different player profile than most big name wide receivers. And now that the target share has gone down a little bit, but the, you know, in terms of converting targets into receptions, that really hasn't gone up. Just his volatility has increased that much more. He's also hugely expensive. I mean, 9,000 is a lot for a guy who scored no more than 8 fantasy points in each of his last 3 weeks. And so it's not to say that in a great matchup with the Saints, he can't get there. He absolutely can. I just don't know that you want to just be like, yeah, man, it's Mike Evans against the Saints. I'm going to play him in every lineup, you know?
Yep, and we also mentioned Cameron Brait as a decent tight end target yesterday. He sees usage in the red zone. He sees enough looks in that offense. The game script should play well in his favor. Probably going to roll him in cash games just because tight end is tough and he hasn't gotten totally out of the realm of expensive. So Brait's another guy to take a look at there. Next game is the Christmas Eve night game, buddy. Merry Christmas. It's the Texans and the Bengals.
Merry Christmas.
you get a little Texans and Bengals action. You
snuggle in, you get your eggnog, you put the cookies under the tree. Then you get to watch Tommy Savage go out and play his trade while you snuggle up to the wife and the kids. So, yeah, I'm all in, baby. I can't wait for this game.
Rutgers grab, baby. The Bengals get A.J. Green back. I actually don't mind A.J. Green here. His price is not what it was to start the season. He is coming back. I think he's a full bill of health going into this game. The line for the Bengals did move up a little bit. I don't know if that was off the A.J. Green news. The Texans moved down a little bit, probably because no one knows what to do with either of these teams, frankly. But I do like – I don't mind A.J. Green here. It's really hard to think about doing anything on the Texans side of the ball. We did mention Ryan Griffin as a cash game play in our value article, sort of ignoring the fact that C.J. Fedora had clear concussion protocol. So if you listen to that one yesterday and you're listening here today, Fedora was coming back, does lower the expectation of Griffin to the point where you really can't play him. So
maybe consider it, though. I mean,
yeah, maybe. I don't know. I
conduct the concussion thing. So, like, actually, this, I think, speaks to an interesting discussion overall, which is, like, saying A.J. Green, I think A.J. Green is way riskier than a guy like Fedorowicz, just based on the nature of the injury and the fact that Fedorowicz is practicing in full, where Green is limited. So, I would not play A.J. Green in any format this week. I just don't even think the upside is worth it. But I could see Fedorowicz. I mean, he's a real tight end, so I would consider him.
Yeah, I think we probably disagree a little bit on Green. I do think there's upside, but I get the injury piece. I wouldn't do him in a safe format, but a guy like he's like that elite level receiver, and if you think you can kind of get separation on him in a tournament, I think it probably is there.
Yeah, I guess he's 7,400 on FanDuel. Maybe it's not the end of the world, but I think I don't think it's where you want to be when you're looking for safety there.
We have two Sunday Christmas Day games, which are, it's Christmas afternoon and then night game. The Ravens take on the Steelers. Steelers actually, for the Ravens defense is a really good defense. Steelers still expected to put up over 25 points in this. Do you think that line is correct? Like, I know when we total up our overall production and expectation for the Steelers, it's coming in lower than what Vegas has, maybe by a couple of points. Do you think, is that a concern for you when we, you know, our overall team production disagrees a little bit with what the Vegas line is?
Well, actually, I prefer our methodologies here to Vegas, because the thing about the Steelers is they're a sneaky public team. You know, they're not the Cowboys, but they are a team that has fans all over the place. They also have a high-powered offense, and I think people just tend to overrate offense in general. I think the Ravens are kind of, just because they haven't been a super football team overall this season, I think they're also overrated or underrated by public perception. So I think like the confluence of those factors to me is worth a couple of points. And given the fact that you have to pay so much for these Steelers guys right now, I think that actually does, you know, begin to even, you know, a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who I've recommended basically every single week, it does start to put his cash game viability into question, given how bad the matchup is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I took a hard look at this yesterday just to make sure all the inputs were correct, and I think they were. I think Bell's volume is enough that probably if you're playing the short slate, he can get there for you.
Yeah, if you're playing like the Sunday and the Monday slate, that's true. I guess I'm forgetting that he's not on the main slate here.
Yeah, no, even if he was on the main slate, I think I'm going to be close-ish, because he's such a outlier in terms of how they use him. But yeah, overall, and I think they get D'Angelo Williams back this week also, which actually there's a possibility that that cuts into some of Bell's workload if they just don't want to run him to death before the playoffs. Not really seeing much in the way of the Ravens side of the ball. Broncos and the Chiefs, this is another one. I think this might be a weather thing, but the line started, the over started at 38, is down to 37 now. Chiefs and Broncos, I mean, the Broncos are a really good defense. Chiefs aren't too shabby either. Is this kind of a game where you just sort of just say from a fantasy perspective, I don't know, kind of move on? There's like no one with huge upside, and the defenses are just good enough that it's just hard to imagine. It's just hard to imagine anyone getting anything really going here.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. The Chiefs are already kind of speculative fantasy plays from week to week, and given that the added pressure of playing one of the league's, if not the league's best defense, is making them pretty much out of consideration. I mean, I know Tyreek Hill has had some upside earlier this season, but yeah, you're not gonna go down that road, I wouldn't think, especially given that he barely played against Tennessee last week. So all those things put together, yeah, no, I'm not in on anything here. The only guy I could see maybe for big tournaments would be like Emmanuel Sanders or something, but not a big time rotation guy for me by any means.
And then the Monday night game is the Lions and the Cowboys. I actually kind of wish this game was on the main slate, because I would love to play Ezekiel Elliott here just in terms of like getting some decent running back value. He was a guy that ended up, I think, in our Thursday lineups. I need to double check on FanDuel, but I put those in last night. I'm pretty sure Zeke was there. Is he just kind of the guy here, -7? This is the exact kind of situation you're looking for with a running back. The team comes in as favorites. We know that they were just willing to hand them the ball over and over and over again to get home. Is he like a must play on these short like Sunday to Monday slates?
Must play might be overstating it, because maybe you just wind up going in and playing Le'Veon Bell instead, but I think he's a very strong play anyway. I mean, Detroit, slightly below average in terms of facing the run this season. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, when I did my little bit of a bigger running back write-up earlier this season, I listed Dallas as like a tier 1A running game behind Arizona and Pittsburgh, and clearly Elliott has the best matchup among those high-profile guys this week. And particularly on this small slate. So sure, I can definitely see him feeling safer than playing Le'Veon Bell, and I suspect he'll be higher owned if that's what you're wondering, Doug.
Yeah, I think you play them just both together, and I was running.
If you can afford them, that's going to be tricky on a small slate.
Yeah, I think there's value to be had. There's some of these cheaper receivers, like you pair up maybe the Denver receivers together. Prescott, actually, it doesn't cost a ton. I guess it's $7,800. It's kind of expensive. Anyway, I think that's just probably the safest way to go for that slate. And actually, one of the reasons I probably will end up wanting to make sure I play that Sunday and the Monday slate, because I like just the safety you get out of a guy like out of those two guys in particular.
And yeah, but if you just play all the most expensive guys, and I think you'll like the way your lineup looks.
Bang. Hey, it doesn't take much to be an expert in this space.
All right, we're draft pod fan mode.
We're from Daily Fantasy Sports Ranking, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com for short. Here to help you get better or continue winning on FanDuel or DraftKings, we have our optimal lineups powered by Lineup Lab that you can get a free 3-day trial to if you head over now. If you sign up today, that'll take you all the way through the holiday weekend. You're all set to go. That includes NBA projections as well. We'll be back again next week recapping the week that was, taking a look at all more value to be had from week to week basis, dfsr.com. Buddy, talk to you again. Enjoy the holiday.
See you real soon.